Read. How to read. How to read a book is the title to a classic guide to intelligent reading by Mortimer J. Adler and Charles Van Doren. The ideas presented in this recording are not a product of these two authors who wrote the classic book referred to, but instead is an idea offered by the author of this recording on behalf of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The ideas presented herein are the results of the personal experience of the author. The ideas presented are expected to have a constructive impact on the listener's experience in more comprehensively understanding Christian Science, and also to shorten the path to an accelerated learning curve to concrete being, which is obtained only through infinite progression. And we never will reach that because it is always moving, but at least we can be making progress on the infinite progression path, striving for concrete being. It is astounding to realize what Mary Baker Eddy accomplished without having a single tool available that is easily at our fingertips to enable anyone to be more productive in their efforts in learning about any topic. Certainly, learning about Christian Science, which is the science of the Bible and the science of Christianity, is the most important topic anyone could address. And we know it's important because the churches and the governments around the world for over 1,500 years tried to get rid of it. They have violated all of the methods and living culture that Christ Jesus gave the world. And not until 1866 was there an opportunity for civilization to get out of the doldrums of the Dark Ages that commenced approximately 325 AD, which was when there was a council between the churches and the governments about Christianity and religion. Since we have a tremendous hole to dig ourselves out of, it behooves us to use every tool available that is productive for each one individually, which of course is an individual decision in how one molds their own methods in order to make progress in this all-important topic of the science of religion, then hopefully this recording will be useful along the way of that path. Einstein stated that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Christian Science is the only path that one can follow to gain both the religion and the science. And that's exactly why it is named Christian Science. To our knowledge, there's not another religion in the world or a way of life by any name that accomplishes both of those goals. So let's see how utilizing modern technology can offer tools to us individually to enable a swifter velocity in order to get to the path of infinite progression, which will lead us to concrete being, realizing that this is an infinite effort. So our real goal is to make tiny little footsteps on a consistent basis without sliding backwards. Mary Baker Eddy quotes Isaiah, wherein the statement is, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. In other words, don't try to accomplish everything in one day or in any period that is defined by time. Just strive to make a little progress each time you study. And therein lies the whole purpose of this recording. The author has devoted his life in part to this end. And it is stated in part because another profession occupied a goodly amount of time. But certainly in retrospect, if one were to do one's life over, probably everyone, including the author, can certainly say that they wish they would have done things differently. Be that as it may, let's start now, being on the most constructive path that each one can individually devise for themselves along that line of infinite progression, striving for concrete being. A few of the devices that are available to assist one in being more productive with their time and embedding into consciousness the things of real importance, which are all evolved around spirit. Here are a few of the tools that one may consider using in order to be more productive with their time in the study of Christian Science. We have paper and a writing instrument, such as a pen. There are all kinds of mobile devices, cell phones, tablets, laptop computers, and a variety of small devices to hold publications, such as articles and books, that one can purchase in formats that are designed just for the specific mobile devices. There are recording devices. There are playback devices. And there are devices that both record and playback. There's a device called Bluetooth, which is a hands-free recording and playback device. So one can be walking along the street or out in the woods and be able to benefit from those devices, whether it is information stored in the device or if they have access to a wireless type of media, such as the internet transmission from towers and satellites and so forth. They can be almost anywhere on planet Earth and have access to the beam, which provides infinite storage so that one can have access on demand of almost anything they want. There are computer screens that connect to computers that are the size of a large TV viewing screen in a home theater. And computers will accommodate multiple of those devices. It's common to have a computer that will handle at least three large screens, if not more. I have seen as many as 8 55-inch screens utilized from one computer. So we're not confined to just looking at one monitor or one piece of paper or one type of writing device or one type of listening device. Nor are we confined to one resource at a time in doing any research. Unfortunately, whenever humanity is involved, there's going to be corruption, because the nature of anything material is unstable and lacks in a good quality motive. It is only when one is reaching for the divine that one can really try to gain the benefit of the real substance, which is spirit, which is by definition flawless. Almost any topic one could dream of has already been thoroughly researched with multiple materials available from that research, multiple resources, and multiple ways to benefit from those resources in terms of the tools that are available to access the information. But since the way the human mind functions, and even though this is far inferior to the divine mind, we must work with what we have available in order to strive for a better reflection of that one and only divine mind. Mary Baker Eddy defines mind with a capital M, meaning God, as being infinite, incorporeal, divine, and supreme. It being of the substance of spirit, which is flawless, it having infinite capacity, capability, functionality, facility, access to infinite action, creativity, and therefore performance, which translates to power. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that the only power obtainable is the good that one does and embodies. If one really wants to strive for doing good and embodying it, these modern tools of technology certainly can assist, because it reduces the amount of time required to do the non-essential things, which is anything that is just routine human activity. Richard Strain, who is one of the authors listed on the website, went to a friend of his who was more experienced as a Christian Scientist than himself, and he said, "I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to progress. I don't know how to get control of my life." And the friend said, "How much are you studying?" He was referring to Christian Science. And Richard said, "I don't have time to study." He says, "By the time I get done doing everything that needs to be done for the day, there's only 6 hours left, and I use that for sleeping." And his friend said, "If you are not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to make the progress that you want to make." He said, "Well, that would only leave me 1 hour to sleep." His friend was silent. Like Jesus before Pilate, when Pilate was going to make the determination on whether Jesus was going to be crucified or not. Jesus knew there was no sense talking, because he was on a totally different level than Pilate, and Pilate wasn't about to change his method, and Jesus certainly wasn't going to change his method, because Jesus knew he was on the path of truth, but Herod was blind. So Jesus said nothing. So Richard Strain's friend said nothing. He'd already said what he needed to say. If you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to make the progress you need to make to get out of your hole. So Richard just sat there and thought about it for a little while in the presence of his friend. And after a little bit of contemplation, he said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." In other words, he didn't say, "I'm going to try to do it." He didn't say, "That's something I'm going to consider. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it, but I'll think about it." No, he made the commitment. He said, "I'm going to do it." If we want to progress along the path of infinite progression, striving for concrete being, we have to make the commitment. If we don't make the commitment, nothing is going to happen. And the commitment is not for someone else, it's for us. We feel there's a need. But are we willing to take the step to make a change in what we're doing with our life right now? Because if we're not, there's no use listening to any of the rest of this recording. The purpose of this recording is not to entice against one's will. It's something that will make a definite change in your progress if you try it with conviction that you want to improve your life over where you are right now. There's no guarantee. It may not work for you. You may not make the conviction that was made by the author. But that's your decision. The author has proven to himself that it works. Whether it works for you is up to you. But one thing's for sure, if you're not making the progress you want to make, you need to do something that is different than what you've been doing to get onto the right path, the accelerated path, the short path. In other words, we need to eliminate all of the little tributaries that go off of the main path to distract us with all of the different things that human nature tries to distract one with, which in the end are not productive. By accelerated path, I don't mean like in driving, we're going to exceed the speed limit or drive recklessly because we think we're going to get there 30 seconds sooner. I'm talking about the turtle race between the turtle and the hare. Rabbit. The turtle chose his normal method of moving, which was slow and steady. He knew where he wanted to go, he was headed in the right direction, and he progressed on a slow, steady path. He didn't stop to rest, he didn't take any detours, he just proceeded along the path that he knew was correct, and he was steady. Well, we all know how that race turned out. While the rabbit decided he was so far ahead, he would just go over to the side and sleep a while, the turtle passed right on by and got to the finish line. Our finish line never comes, because the infinite never ends. But how can we be sure that we're making progress? We have to do what Frederick L. Rawson one of the most brilliant geniuses of all time in learning and practicing Christian Science. I would rank him next to Mary Baker Eddy, and both of them being close behind Christ Jesus. In fact, in some ways, Mary Baker Eddy gave us more than Christ Jesus, because she gave us what Christ Jesus gave us and amplified it by explaining how Christ Jesus did it, so that anyone can practice the healing results and gain the healing results that Christ Jesus offered to the world, even though the world has ignored what he offered. Hence, the world experienced 1,500 plus years of dark ages. We are right now at the precipice of 325 AD, because religion and government are working exactly the same way that they were at 325 AD after that council meeting. You cannot combine a government which is motivated for self-preservation and material gain with what Christ Jesus provided, which was a way of life that was a dimension far above any other way of life. If he needed money for his taxes, he got it out of the mouth of the fish. If he needed to help someone come back to a sense of life that they apparently had lost, like Tabitha and Lazarus, he was able to do it in a flash. If he needed to be on the other side of the lake, he transported himself. If he needed to walk on the water to get out to the ship that was out on the sea, he did it. If he needed to heal a man of leprosy or anything else, he did it. Except in Galilee. And why did he have trouble healing in Galilee? Because there was not a receptive thought. If the listener of this recording, whoever you are, does not have a receptive thought to improvement, it'll do no good. Even Jesus could not overcome the resistance of the human mind of other people. What he did is he changed his course, went to another area where people were receptive, where people did not lock themselves into a preconceived idea which blocked them from gaining the beautiful healings that Jesus delivered to them. We have to have a desire to reach forward and upward in our path in order to be more progressive than where we are right now. And of course, the really intelligent reflection of the mind is going to be constantly looking for something better. Einstein said we should all gain a little each day in understanding the holy. And of course, that's what the quotation from Isaiah was all about. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Gain a little each day. How can we do it more easily? Well, I will relate to you my experience. And if you're serious, you will try it. If you're not, if you have resistance, you won't. It's that simple. The author has studied about how to be successful on an individual basis for his entire adult life. Always open to thought from others about how to do it. Endless study of time management, goal setting, schedule discipline, you name it, and it has been pursued. How to read a book. Numerous hours devoted to that one topic. One of the most productive, classic ways to do it is outlined in great detail by Mortimer J. Adler and Charles Van Doren in the book entitled How to Read a Book. Now, it really is more than how to read a book. It's really how to read, no matter what you're reading, no matter what the topic is, no matter what the format is. It was published in 1967. Well, that was the last update. Originally, it was 1940, but I believe the last copyright was 1967. So, right at 57 years, and it is in the public domain, and we offer it on the website. But keeping in mind that it was in 1967, unless you were a rare bird, you did not have access to any kind of a computer, let alone a cell phone, or MP3 players, or small mobile recording devices. I remember the first portable phone I had for my car. It required a box to be installed in the trunk with a very visible antenna on the exterior of the car. And it was clumsy and awkward, had interruptions in phone calls all the time from static and interference of other calls of other people that had nothing to do with me or my business. So the technological advances that have been made are nothing less than dramatic. And the patent office has done everything possible to suppress the advancement of technology. Anyone with a bright idea can submit a patent application and it sits there forever because the corporations that are bilking the public for every dollar they've got is able to suppress any new thing that would cut into their lucrative, corrupt business. And not only that, the entire patent office is controlled by a foreign country. You heard correctly, by a foreign country and a foreign bureaucracy. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. How can we do that? No matter what we're doing, we can be asking ourselves, is this going to further me along my path of progress? And of course, that should be the path of spirit. In other words, are we conducting every thought, speech, and action in a spiritual way? Or are we trying to get there fast and put as much money in our pocket as possible, even though it means we're stepping on the toes of our best friend or a family member or whoever, anyone? If we're stepping on the toes of someone else, we are not on the path of spirit. When Jesus' disciples asked him, How many times should we forgive? Seven? He says 70 times seven. It seems to me he was saying, you don't have any reason to forgive because you don't have any reason to condemn. You can only forgive if you condemn. Why are you condemning? Why worry about how many times you need to forgive? Forget the whole subject. Focus on learning more about God. Focus more about reflecting the qualities of God. Life is not a matter of keeping scale or a track or a list on how many things that other people did that were wrong. Life should be living the qualities of God. Pray without ceasing means no matter what you're doing, you're going to be reflecting the qualities of God as you do it. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how advanced or elementary it is. Are you following the behest of Christ Jesus when he said the two greatest commandments were love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and so forth, and love your neighbor as yourself? He said it all as one sentence. He was asked by the Pharisee, what is the greatest commandment? But he answered it with two commandments that were joined together unequivocally and without possibility of being separated. Are we doing that? Are we living the golden rule with everything we think, say, and do? Mary Baker Eddy stopped several times a day in order to make sure that she was focusing only on good, only on things that were productive, only on things that were spiritual, and not giving a moment's thought to any mistakes that other people make, not dwelling on evil. In fact, she told her household that were living with her, which were very finely selected and monitored to make sure they were on the right path, she says, don't mess with Washington, D.C. That was a distraction. Edward Kimball wanted to go see the Pope. She said, don't do it. He went anyway. When he came back, she would never see him again. Because that was an avenue that the wrong thought could use to interrupt the Christian Science movement. She has written in the manual of the Mother Church to not be patronizing those who sell obnoxious literature. Well, it goes further than that. How about anything obnoxious that is thought, speech, or action? Jesus says that if we're thinking about something, that's as evil as doing it, if it's an evil thing we're thinking about. I think probably everyone has some skeletons in their closet on that. I certainly do. I didn't make any effort, but it's just we're confronted with it. We walk down the street. If we observe anything that is unholy and let it go into thought, spend 1 second thinking about it, then we're on the wrong path. If we see an accident and get sucked into emotion about it, we're on the wrong path. If we see someone in a wheelchair, gee, one of the stores I go into, there's a lady with her daughter sitting there in a wheelchair, and it's really, really difficult to prevent that from getting into thought. Yes, I stop by, I give them money, and also I whisper to the daughter that's in the wheelchair something that comes to thought at the moment. But I'll tell you, the scene is very pathetic. I never go into hospitals. period. I don't care who's in there or what their problem is. I don't go in there. I've been in one a couple of times. The smell is so offensive that I don't want to ever have that smell, because it reminds me of everyone in there having problems, or at least they think they do. We have to keep the atmosphere that we breathe as pure as possible. And we can't do it if we're going to have an atmosphere around us of not a single person that is without a major problem. We have to address it. We can't ignore it. Mr. Winslow says, imagine yourself in a room, and on one side of you, there's a radio that's doing nothing but broadcasting the truth about God. And on the other side, there's a telephone that's doing nothing but ringing, trying to get your attention to distract you from the radio. He says, don't pick up the phone. That doesn't mean we can ignore it. What we do is we have to address it so that it doesn't go into our consciousness. We have to say, no, I am spiritual. I'm not going to listen to problem after problem trying to be presented and for me to pick up the phone and give it a home. If you let the salesman get his foot in the door, the next thing that's going to happen is he's going to get all the way in. He's going to totally disrupt whatever you're doing without being invited. Well, we don't want to invite evil into our household. We don't want it to be a part of our body. Our body is everything about us. Everything that is a thought, speech, or action in our existence is our body. It's not just something that we can see when we look in the mirror. Our body is our entire existence. It's the embodiment of our entire thought, speech, and action. At the beginning of Science and Health, there are three quotes. This is before even the preface, before the table of contents. It's right after the title page. Now, if that's where it is in the book, you can be sure that Mary Baker Eddy says that this is the most important thing you can read right now, before you even start reading the book, before you even start looking at the preface, before you even start looking at the table of contents. And what are those three quotes? Are they long dissertations? No. The first one is from John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, how simple is that? Very simple. The truth doesn't mean partly true. It means the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. In a spiritual way. Not the truth about a human experience, but we're talking about God. Ye shall know God, and God will set you free. And God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. God is also the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. All substance, intelligence. Mary Baker Eddy talks about God on every page of the book. 600 pages that she wrote, and 100 pages of testimonials. 700 pages. God is on every single page. In fact, we have, thanks to Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, we have 7 volumes, one devoted to each one of the 7 synonymous terms, underlined in Science and Health and published as 7 books. You can see every page where she mentions any one of the 7 synonymous terms that I just mentioned. And if you don't think Mary Baker Eddy talks about God, you better read Science and Health and look for those words that are underlined, that are capitalized, that mean God. As was noted earlier in this recording, I referred to Frederick L. Rawson and ranked him as being very close to Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy and his success in healing. And I started to mention about his method of making progress in his life was to test something before he pursued it. In other words, don't go down a path continuously without success, but test it. If it doesn't work, go to something else. People came to him from all over the world to solve problems regarding electricity. He proved that the electrical charges within one's, quote, human body, end of quote, changed when there was Christian Science treatment applied to any problem that that individual seemed to have. He had a way to measure it. And this was 115 years ago, around 1910. We know the devices to measure things today are far advanced over what was available 115 years ago. This recording is not talking about something that is theoretical. It is something that can be proven by the rules of physics. If one is a physicist, go to it, like Mr. Rawson did. He was hired by a newspaper back in those early days, like I said, 115 years ago, or maybe 120. And this was a major newspaper, and they wanted to find out if what they had heard about Christian Science was true, that it was actually producing healings. And they knew he was a very technically oriented individual because of his reputation about electricity. And they also knew he was a Bible student, so they thought he would be as good as they could find to do research, and they could depend on what he did, you know, the product, the result of his research. Well, not only did he do research on it, but he became an avid Christian Scientist, as you can imagine, because of my previous comments about him. So he said, test everything before you pursue down a path of just doing the same thing over and over and over. He says, test it. Don't just blindly go down a path and hope that something will be different tomorrow, even though you're doing it the same way for the last 500 days or whatever. So that's what he did. And that's what we should do. And the ideas I give you, you should test it. If you're at all serious about improving either a path that you're on now and the success you have, try doing it. If it doesn't work, don't do it. If it works, you make the decision. Remember what Solomon said. Solomon went to God to gain wisdom so he could rule his people. He was very young when he succeeded the crown of his father, David, the one that slew Goliath. And so he went to God in a very humble, pleading way and asked for wisdom so he could judge his people fairly. Christ Jesus gave us a clue on what we should put our time into. He says, don't bother with things that can rust or be corrupted or where a thief can break in and steal. And I've told the story about a man that had three sons many times in the prayer treatments that have been offered on the website. And the man was getting to the time where he wanted to divide up his property with his sons. He had three of them. And he had land, he had a house, and he had a very valuable, rare library. The oldest one chose the land. He said, well, the land will always be here. The next oldest chose the house. He said, well, I can have that to live in, I can have parties, I'll take the house. The younger one, and none of them knew what the other one wanted, by the way, he did it in a way that they were all submitting it on a piece of paper and didn't disclose to anybody what anyone chose until they had the meeting after they had all made their decisions. So the third one chose the library. So not any two of them chose the same thing. They were all thinking along different lines. And the youngest son that chose the library, he was the wise one because he says, you know, we could have an earthquake, destroy the land. He said, you could have any number of things that can get rid of the house, you know, fire, tornado, whatever. Deterioration over years. He said, but a library, I'm going to read and learn from it, and nobody can take that away from me. Well, that's what we need to think about in terms of Christian Science. Nobody can take it away from us. The government tries. They make all kinds of laws and rules and all kinds of stuff. They try to take away independent thinking of anybody and everybody, particularly in the last few years, last three. This is 2024, and for the last 3 years, they've tried a lot of things to suppress the freedoms of all Americans, and that has permeated throughout many countries throughout the world. Like I mentioned earlier in this recording, we are at the precipice. We're right now at the same place they were in 325 AD. And Mary Baker Eddy prophesied that if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we will go into the longest period of dark ages this country and the world has ever experienced. So that's where we are. So we have a very important decision to make. Are we going to do our work and do it in the most efficient way so we can learn as much as possible the fastest, or are we not? Are we going to learn to live it, or are we just going to spend a few minutes a day or a few minutes a week, and then that's it? And then we'll go about our own business the rest of the 1,440 minutes in every day. 1,440 minutes a day. How are we going to use them? Mr. Strain didn't use any of them for studying until he was exhausted of his material life. You can study the book, how to read a book, and that's as good as you're going to get along conventional path or a conventional path of how to read. It's not just how to read a book, it's how to read, period. And it's excellent. And I studied it for a long time. What has made a change in my progress, and obviously this is my own opinion, no one has come up to me and told me, wow, you really progressed in the last week. And I'm not looking for anything from anyone else to compliment or comment negatively either way, because we all have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, it says in the Bible. And by the way, whenever we have a new thought that comes to us, we really should treat it. We should do a prayer treatment about it. Maybe many. Mary Baker Eddy waited sometimes a long time, I don't remember whether she said months or years, to get the right word to use in a particular place in Science and Health. But I mean, it was a very long exercise of patience and perseverance in writing, getting to the final 432nd edition of Science and Health. And she had everyone, just like Jesus, everyone attacking her from every angle. And certainly it was in the church. Her family totally divorced her, disowned her. Everyone where she lived while she was writing Science and Health, they would chase her out in the middle of the night and put her in the street in the winter. Yep, in the dead of winter, in Boston, Massachusetts, which is a severe winter, that's what she put up with. That's what she was exposed to. That's how she was treated. So we need to do a prayer treatment if we are contemplating anything that is a significant change on what we've been doing. And the reason is that the human mind rejects change. It does not like change. Change means that it was wrong in what it was believing previously. And the human mind is very egotistical. It does not accept change, period. It would rather be deceived than it would be forced to change. All salesmen have to do, or a politician, all they have to do is lie, and you will accept the lie. But if they try to force you to change, you reject it. So they get what they want. The politicians get what they want, which is usually money in their pocket, by deceiving you. It's evil. It's not a person. They don't know what they're doing. Like the Bible says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." They don't know what they're doing. They're blind. They are blinded by evil. Evil blinds us all. We all have done things, well, everyone I've met, including the guy I see when I look in the mirror, we've all done things that we wish we wouldn't have done. Sometimes we've been deceived, sometimes we've been whatever. It's all evil. Mary Baker Eddy says, the evildoer and the evil are all the same. They're one and the same. It's like Jesus said, if you're thinking it, you're doing it. So we need to utilize the systematic divine way of praying, like Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146. And we have it at the, we refer to it throughout our website. She has reduced divine metaphysics to a system where anyone can heal. It's like mathematics. It's the great equalizer, mathematics. In the movie Stand and Deliver, a Mexican that came from a poor part of East LA, apparently, said the great equalizer in mathematics. Doesn't matter what your race, religion, or anything else is, color of your skin. If you know mathematics, you can proceed. You can succeed and proceed with your life and forget about your race, your color, your background, or anything else. Well, Christian Science is a dimension above mathematics, a big dimension above mathematics, because it includes healing. And of course, mathematics is used in Christian Science. It's used in everything. It's used in music. It's used in chemistry. It's used in everything. The principle of everything includes the mathematics. And in music. How about the harmony of music? If you don't have the harmony of music in what you're doing, doesn't matter what you're doing, you're missing out. There's a principle that is based on mathematics, and there's a harmony that is based on music. And we have to look for those. So, you should treat any change in advance of pursuing it. And we teach in our treatments how to do treatments. So I won't go over that here, but you need to think about, well, I'll just give you a couple of ideas. You need to think that, first of all, the substance of what your change is going to be has to be spiritual or it's not going to work. There has to be a principle involved, which is a system and a structure, or it's not going to work. And it has to be harmonious and balanced in that principle and structure. You have to be utilizing mind. Anything that is mental is from the quality of mind. That means it has to be an intelligent thing. You have to realize that there's no limit to your capacity, your capability, your facility, or the action that's available to implement it. And that there will be the creative power that's necessary, and you will gain performance. And that performance is converted to translated and measured as power. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. We must know that truth is active, and therefore nothing can block the truth. Nothing can stop the truth. Nothing can stop the progress. And of course, you have to use love, because that's the lubricant that makes everything work. If we leave love out of it, we're not going to get there. The former president who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, he said, if you think about the money, forget it. He said, it's going to be a failure. He said, you've got to think about pleasing everyone that's in the deal. You have to make sure that everyone is satisfied. Otherwise, the deal is going to fall through sooner or later. Everyone has to be satisfied when they make the deal. So you have your job as a negotiator is to find out what each one needs. And if it works by giving everyone what they need, then it's going to be a good deal. If you don't give everyone what they need, it's going to fall through, either now or in the future. And you have to make sure you seal the treatment. In other words, you say that all the truth that is in this treatment is effective, and there's nothing that can stop it or limit it. So you need to do your treatment. Okay, so what is the idea? What is the purpose of this recording? Remember, I've spent all this time telling you everything but the purpose of the recording. So now you're prepared. And it doesn't matter to me what you think of the idea. It worked for me. Try it. If it works, use it. If it doesn't work, throw it out the window. That's what you should do with every new idea. If it works, use it. If it doesn't, throw it out the window. It's that simple. Christian Science is simple. Implementing it is only a problem when we resist. Every new idea is usually simple, but accepting a new idea is something the human mind doesn't want to do, period. Okay, so what is this idea? What is it that has worked successfully for me that I'm offering to you? It is simple, and it is as follows. Go ahead and utilize the ideas that are presented in the classic book, How to Read a Book. It's a wonderful, excellent, classic textbook on how to read better than what you're probably reading now. You will read faster, and you will remember more about what you read. But remember, the real key to remembering what you read is to do it. You have to do it. Do it, do it, do it. One of the most famous pianists said that if he misses one day of practicing, he knows it. If he misses 2 days, the critics know it. If he misses 3 days, the public knows it. If we really want to be perfecting what we're doing, no matter what it is, we have to do it every single day. Every single day. We can't be just repeating something that doesn't work. We have to be repeating what does work. Every single day. We have to live it. We have to think it. We have to talk it. Even talking to ourselves. I don't mean we have to be talking to the world about it. But we need to think about it. We need to talk about it. And we need to do it. Everything that works. And everything that doesn't work, we got to throw it out the window. Okay. The idea is this. Utilize everything else you know about the right way to do what you're doing in terms of studying and the materials you study and so forth. But the difference is, don't read it without recording it. Record everything. Everything. Why does it work? Why do I think it worked? First of all, you should be where no one else can hear you. So it's not for anyone else to hear. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't stand on a street corner and try to convince people that you're a great person. She says, let your life tell the story. Be like a lighthouse. Let your light shine in everything you think, say, and do. If you don't have any friends that play tennis and you love to play tennis, then play tennis. Go to places where they play tennis. You will gain tennis friends. If you want to improve your life, be around people that are doing things that you respect and admire and that you would like to do what they're doing. Learn from others. Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, he visited every store he could visit to learn the ideas of how they were operating their stores. He would throw out things he didn't like, and he would adopt things he did. We need to do that with our whole life. If we want to improve, we need to be around people that are models of what we think are right for us. If you record everything that you study, remember, this is for you. This isn't for someone else. This is for you. And hopefully you can arrange your affairs so that you can be in solitude when you're doing this, because you don't want any distraction whatsoever. When I started doing this, thoughts came to me when I was talking to the microphone, recording. I didn't record it for anybody else. I recorded things for years, hundreds and hundreds of treatments for years before the thought ever came to me to offer them to the public. And everything I do is extemporaneous. I don't prepare anything. A thought will come to me about a topic that seems important to address at the moment. So I will do it. And whatever thoughts come, I say. Nothing is pre-planned, period. It's rarely that I even write anything down, unless it's something that I know I can't do for a while and I want to make sure that I embed it in my schedule. So I will write down, you know, a sentence or something, or not even a sentence, but just a few key words. And that's the only preparation I do if it's in advance of when I'm going to really address it. But I don't do research. I don't write out any kind of a plan. Because the whole thought about this is to let the ideas flow. And you should record everything that comes to your thought. If you read a quote from someone, who, no matter who it is, whether it's Mary Baker Eddy or another author, whether it's out of the Bible, doesn't matter. As soon as you get done recording that, then think about it and talk to the microphone while you're thinking. What does it mean to you? You need to rewrite the sentence or the idea or the paragraph or the chapter, whatever. Rewrite it in your own words. If you do, number one, it will force you to focus. And number two, you will get ideas from God. It will just flow to you. It'll just flow to you. This recording right now, one thought would come to me and another thought would come to me, and so I'd talk about it as if I was talking to myself in solitude. And that's what you have to do. You could play it back to yourself later, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. And you will say, wow, where did that come from? Didn't come from me. That must be an angel thought. And when you get done, make sure you seal it. Like I mentioned just a few moments ago, say that every truth that has been recorded is protected by God. It's permanent. It's secure. And it will be effective. And nothing can prevent it from being effective. Nothing can block me from understanding the truth. I have no limit in my capacity because I reflect my capacity from God. And the same with capability and functionality, activity. Everything comes from God. The Bible tells us that God is all in all. Mr. Rawson had a beautiful instantaneous healing. He was looking out the window. This was back like 1900 or 1910 or something, maybe 1915. And there was a man that was pulling, this was before they had much in the way of motorized trucks. There was a man that was driving a cart full of rocks. Had an animal pulling it. I don't know what it was. Wasn't mentioned. And he felt something needed to be inspected in the back of the cart, so he stopped it and went around and was examining the tailgate. And when he was back there, something alarmed the animal, and he raised up, dumped a whole load of rocks on him. He was totally covered up with rocks. Mr. Rawson observed this. In fact, he was there looking out the window with a friend discussing probably CS. I don't know, it didn't say. And Mr. Rawson said five words. There is nothing but God. He obviously said it with great conviction and understanding. And with that, the man rocketed out from underneath the pile of rocks, totally unscratched, uninjured, went on about his business. There is nothing but God. Five words. And if we really have any inkling of an understanding about what it means, and we say it with conviction, like we really mean it, there will be an effect that will be very positive. So that's five words to remember. God is all in all. That's five words. There is nothing but God. Five words. Remember the seven synonymous terms. Definition of God. Definition of good. That's a good one. Definition of good on the same page in the glossary is the definition of God. And it says good is God, Spirit. Omnipotence. Omniscience, omnipresence. Omniaction. That covers everything. If God is everywhere, omnipresent, that means God's power is everywhere. That means God's intelligence is everywhere, because intelligence and wisdom and knowing is a part of omniscience. And God's action is everywhere, which means that there cannot be an accident. So if we see an accident, we should say, God is the only action. Every action is an action of love, which means it's harmonious. It's an action of principle, which means it's structured and systematic and in balance. The only mind is an intelligent mind. So there can't be any ignorant decisions, any stupid decisions. I cannot make a mistake because I am letting God lead me in my intelligence. My intelligence is the intelligence of God. I'm only a reflection. Nothing can interfere because nothing else has power. Helen Wright wrote many books. She's, as I mentioned, founder of this Mary Baker Eddy Institute in 1988. So 36 years ago. She wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. It was her last book she wrote, and a real winner. 13 chapters, and 7 of them are on each one chapter on each of the 7 synonymous terms. If you want to understand what those 7 synonymous terms mean, you should study that book continuously. Start with the chapter, which is chapter 4, on mind, and then go to chapter 5 and up through chapter 10, and then start all over again. You should spend a little time each day reading that book, each day, until you can recite what those words mean frontwards and backwards, in your sleep with blindfolded and both hands tied behind your back. That is the Bible for learning what the synonymous terms mean. And she gets everything from Science and Health. And that's what those 7 volumes are all about, where she underlined them and published those as 7 different books. So if you want to see every place in Science and Health that Mary Baker Eddy uses one of those 7 terms, get those 7 books. And you can see the other words that she used around it, the sentence it was used in, the paragraph, the title to the paragraph, or the topic, I should say, because some of the topics cover multiple paragraphs. If you're going to read anything out of Science and Health, you should read the first 3 quotes. I didn't even finish those. The first one, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." That's from Shakespeare. And the third one, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." And that's from Mary Baker Eddy. So, if we focus on the truth, we will be made free from the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Whatever thoughts that we entertain better be good ones, because that's what brings about our experience. If we think evil thoughts, we're going to have an evil experience. If we think good thoughts, we're going to have an experience of God. And if we do 1 and 2, correctly, then we're going to be blessed because God will hear our prayer, which means that we are already in alignment with the truth. God doesn't have ears. No use trying to talk to God other than the fact that it might get you into a humble attitude because you realize there's someone above you or some entity or some power. And it's the laws of God that are the power. God doesn't do anything when we have a healing. We have gotten ourselves in line with the truth. And so the healing is automatic because we have aligned everything about us in truth, our thought, speech, and action. That's what a healing is. It's an alignment of ourselves with truth. Truth is the healer. Mind is the medicine. Think of Shakespeare. nothing good or bad, but what thinking makes it so. That's Shakespeare. That's mind. Mind gets our thought in the right place, because that's the medicine, and the healing is done by truth, which is the fact that everything is already perfect. Record everything. Listen to your recordings. If there's any time that you can be listening to it and not interfere with other people, you know, if you're taking a shower, you're in the kitchen, driving, as long as it doesn't interfere with the safety of your driving. You can be walking and have an earpiece in your ear and listening. We have the technological tools that make it simple. The only thing is, it has to be in your heart. It has to be your motive. You want to have to improve on what you're doing now. You have to want to accelerate your learning and your healing. You have to break out of the box. Don't let anything confine your thinking except for the path of truth. You have to stay on the path of truth, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. If you're recording evil, then don't be listening to anything that is recorded from this website, because you're not ready. You may never be ready, but you're certainly not ready at the moment if you are thinking evil, because it's the same as doing it. Record, record, record. Another thing very important is to make sure you title it properly, so when you search through all your recordings, you can find it instantly. There's software for searching. Search everything. Maybe it's just everything. Either search everything or everything is the name of a tool that I use for searching. It's a beautiful tool. All kinds of filters. You can do anything you want to in terms of searching. So you have to title it properly. Put every word in there that you might want to think of if you want to find it. Remember, this is a tool for you, tailored to you. If there's an abbreviation you always use, use it. Titling is so important if you want to function efficiently. There's only one truth. It's not from me, not from anyone else. It's not from Mary Baker Eddy. It's not from Jesus. It's from God. There's one truth. There's one mind, one spirit, one soul, one life, and one love. They're all from God. Anything you learn that is effective is from God. It's not from me, not from anyone else. It's from God. God is the one that is defined as a three-letter word that is all goodness. Remember, the definition in the glossary is good. Definition of spirit is good. Bad is the opposite of spirit, which is matter. Evil is matter. Mr. Rawson, the one I told you that was such a brilliant genius, he said, work against matter in everything that you do. Every treatment should include treating for matter. Treating for recognizing that matter has no life, truth, or intelligence. The scientific statement of being is such a genius statement. Wow. That's why Einstein said about Mary Baker Eddy, he said, everything that, he says, blessed art thou, because everything that is in this book. And he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. He said that around 1950. Yeah. He didn't realize it until he had already lived his life out. 1950 was shortly before he passed. Yeah, he didn't discover it until then. He said, imagine she discovered this 80 years ago. In other words, he had been spending his whole life on physics, and Mary Baker Eddy had already explained everything about physics and science and health. She explained everything about relativity. That's on page 115 and 116. Everything about relativity that you need to know is right there. Imagine if we were prehistoric. We didn't know anything. Now we have the benefit of everything Jesus did that is recorded, everything Mary Baker Eddy did, what Mr. Rawson did. Mr. Rawson figured out how to treat retroactively, so the treatment was effective before anyone even contacted him about the problem. It's called retroactive treatment or treating backwards. It's all explained on the website. Brilliant man. He offered so much to the world. There is nothing but God. Amen.